Pulitzer Prize-winning author and renowned biologist E.O. Wilson is having yet another moment in the sun. At the end of this month, PBS premieres the documentary E.O. Wilson of Ants and Men. It tells his life story from his Alabama childhood to his sometimes controversial theories on animal and human behavior, and of course, his work with ant communication. You may remember ants intruded on one of our outdoor conversations a few years back.
I suspect you may be sitting on an anthill.
I think I am. Do you mind? But, and I have a skirt on. So do
okay,
you mind?
So, oh, yeah. Bless my soul. It's a colony of carpenter ants. They're not swarming out. Shall we take a
seat
over here?
Oh, such fun. Ants also feature in E.O. Wilson's book, The Meaning of Human Existence, as do extraterrestrials and the Earth itself. The book was a finalist for the National Book Award. It came out in paperback this week. We spoke with E.O. when it was first published and began by asking, what is the meaning of existence?
Basically, the meaning of existence is the history of humanity, and the best point to begin that history is about 6 million years ago when the human line split from the chimpanzee line, and the human condition came about somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 2 million years ago. That's when our brain began to increase explosively in size. Meaning of humanity has to involve an understanding as best as we can get it. What caused that extremely rapid expansion in brain ability, particularly memory?
Because that's one of the things that makes for human existence, the ability to think about our existence.
That is exactly right. Humans know that they know, and they know increasingly why they know. And that makes them the mind of, well, the planet anyway, as it makes him the steward. No other creature has anything remotely like that.
Well, and as you well know, there are people who say the meaning of existence is something that's laid out by a god. And you make no bones about it. You are an atheist. You say this idea that this is an unfolding of a supernatural design by an author. It's just not true that we are independent, alone, and fragile.
Okay, let's back up. I'm a provisional atheist. I hate isms, atheism. And so isms, you know, that hissing sound, ism, because it sounds like you're totally committed. Let's put it this way. I am a provisional atheist, but I'm always having an open mind. And there are two levels of religious belief. One of them is you could call transcendental. It has to do with the question, is there a deity? Is there an overseeing guide to the universe and to this planet and then to my personal life? That's something people can talk about and think about and dream and create culture from without killing other people. The other level of religion, as you well know, is faith. And every one of the 100 faiths around the world has a different creation story. They have a different faith. And no matter how subtle, no matter how, shall we say, merciful and generous they may be, the members of each faith consider their faith to be superior to that of all other faiths. And why are they feeling this way? And why is faith something one fights about or disagrees over so vehemently? And the answer to that is that faith are a manifestation of human tribes, competition among groups. So if group versus group have always been a driving force of evolution, it's not mysterious to find that it's a powerful force in our way of thinking in the modern era.
In fact, you cite some research that shows that when people are separated into groups, no matter what, they think their group is better.
Always. Psychologists, social psychologists have found this amazing fact. And even if they know they're involved in an experiment, before long they're beginning to form bonds with the other member of the little arbitrary group, and they're beginning to find fault with the character of the other and the ability of the other group.
Well, so groups tell us something about the meaning of existence, how groups operate. Let me see if I get this right. If a group has a thief in it, they have less of a chance of survival than a group that has a hero in it that, let's say, sacrifices his life.
That's right.
Ants are some of the best functioning groups that there are, but we don't want to be ants.
No. You don't want to have a group of altruists, and you certainly don't want to have a group of beasts of prey, individualists who are only concerned about themselves. Within a group, selfish individuals beat in competition, having more children, et cetera, all the Darwinian process. Selfish individuals beat others. But populations or groups of altruists beat groups of selfish individuals.
Well, that's what I took away from this, that, you know, altruism is actually a surviving technique.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, intelligent altruism is what the human species should be aiming for.
Mm. One thing that jumped out, I mean, it's right there in the first chapter, you're a scientist, but you're very clear that it will take the humanities to really tell this story of human existence.
That's true. In a very short period of time, I mean barely an eye blink in evolutionary and geological time, we have gone from Paleozoic to advanced techno-scientific civilization. There are civilizations elsewhere if they exist, and some of them could easily have reached our level not just a million years ago, not just 10 million years ago, but given the age of the galaxy, 100 million years ago. What would an alien civilization like to know about this one? Not our science. We're juveniles to them if they've been at it for 10 million years. They would like to know very much about our culture. We've accumulated this immense mass of imagination and creativity and the creative arts. They would like to know what that is. So this is our heritage. What makes us human really is the content, ultimately the content of the humanities.
Yeah, the arts. You point out that if an ET gets here, they've got the technology to get here, and they'll want to know what our culture is. E.O. Wilson, the meaning of human existence is how you function in a group and your altruism and also your arts. But I have to wonder, having taken this on, what's left for you? What are you curious about?
Oh, well, that's easy to answer. We're one species. Glorious though we are just one species out of an estimated 8 million. At the present time, we only know almost exactly 2 million species, enough to give them a scientific name. 6 million species are out there maintaining the planet for us as an autonomous ecosystem and stabilization system. We don't even know what the great majority of these species are, much less what they're doing. So once we get through with explaining ourselves pretty well, then we should be simultaneously, actually, turning to all the other 8 million species and figure out who it is that lives with us and find out how to stop wiping them out. Imagine what it would be like to have most of the species gone and we ourselves now turned into engineers in charge of an actual spaceship, where in order to keep the atmosphere thus and so and the water flowing thus and so, we were constantly at the control panels, jiggering and worrying about it. Let's turn the big parts of it back to the other 8 million species and let them run it while we have a lovely existence on the planet. Thank you.
E.O. Wilson, his latest book is The Meaning of Human Existence. E.O. Wilson, a pleasure as always.
As always with you.
Our conversation last October. His book is out in paperback this week.